down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Sir Charles, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I understand that there are some concerns that you have about Apes Hill. So what is it?
The concerns I have is about the inaccuracies in the articles that came out on Sunday's paper.
Okay.
By Miss Maria Bradshaw and Mr. Sanka Price. I tried to get hold of her yesterday, but I understand she's out here either. I have been unable to get hold of Sanka Price.
Okay.
First, Apes Hill Polo Club, which carries the same thing as the Apes Hill Golf Club, is not shut down, has not missed any engagements, as said by them, and is not in bush like Lion Castle. One. Two.
So what is shut down? Or what was shut down in May?
Apes Hill Polo Club. Apes Hill Golf Course.
The golf course, as opposed to the Polo Club.
Apes Hill Polo Club is very much still active. Right. And properly groomed and in excellent condition.
So you have to make a distinction between the Polo Club and the golf course.
Yes.
Is the golf course in bush?
The golf course would have gone in bush, Mr. Ellis, if the Prime Minister hadn't stepped in and made a decision which quickly made the two dissenting bondholders change their mind and sell it to the gentleman that has the money to bring it back to what I had foreseen it to be.
Bring it back, that implies that there's been some deterioration, though.
Yeah, not a lot, because the Williams family has put in $30 million in Apes Hill to keep it in good condition until we realize that they paid by the bank.
Well, the details of that I don't know. That is your perspective on it.
Well, we were carrying it all along, expecting that the two of the four buyers that we had found would be closed, but the trustee was unable to close it because two of the bondholders
were dissenting,
refused to agree to sell it to the man paying the most money.
But let's deal with the other inaccuracies before we go any further. What are these other inaccuracies that you want to clarify?
Apes Hill Golf Course is not 54 acres. It's 470.
That's it?
And it's difficult for me now because I'm away driving to get lunch.
Okay.
I don't have the BFF at me. Mm-hmm. But what I have to say, I'm going to say, Apes Hill, on the conclusion of the sale, which is imminent, will have brought into Barbados over $200 million. You understand what he's telling you, Mr. Ellen?
I heard you.
Let somebody check and see if the last four care crops brought that.
Okay, fair enough. But let me ask you this. As I understand it, one has to make a distinction between the golf course and the golf club, and the company that owns the water to operate the golf club. Now, while there was a sale for the golf club and the golf course, there were supposed to be separate negotiations for the water. Have those negotiations been completed?
Yes, the new prospective order has come to an agreement with us from the very beginning. There was never any doubt with him.
So he will now own both the golf club and the golf course, and he will also own the company that provides the water. Is that correct?
No. He will own the water itself. He is only buying assets. And one way or the other, Mr. Ellis, Mr. Shamandy will have access to all the water he wants.
He will have access to the water. And you will continue to own the company that provides the water?
No, I just told you.
Okay.
There is an agreement where he will take over the property that the water is on, as of now.
How much of a beating have you taken on this project?
Let me tell you. I come back from United States of America 3 days ago. You know what I went for? I rushed for a heart problem.
Caused by this?
Well, my cardiologist pointed out to me 2 days ago that up until 18 months ago, my heart was perfect.
But you know, this is a project. You use this same program to lobby government to help put some money into the clubhouse for Apes Hill. A consequence of that, my recollection is the government, the NIS, put something like $19 million into that project. Barbadian taxpayers, having heard that the bondholders took a 70% haircut on that project, would question why the government followed your advice and put that money behind it. So how would you respond to those people?
At that stage, when they put in the money to build the clubhouse, the world was not in the financial position it's in now. It is not. And let me put this to you. Look at how much the Apes Hill Consortium, at times employing 400 people, how much they have contributed to that. And let me put this to you for all to hear. The banks had lost nothing. I don't have any good figures, Marin. But the interest, the exorbitant interest rate at 8% plus, when I got that calculated for me, they have got back all of their money. The only thing they haven't done is made a profit on what they loaned me. But they sure got back all the money and interest. They got back every single penny and interest and some more. So whatever they get now is profit.
But you are into construction.
Yes, I am.
And as such, you may have those who will say that you also made your money on the construction of it.
Of the golf course?
Yeah, the whole project.
Because I would be dishonest to deny that.
Okay.
But let me tell all of those that say so, that C.O. Williams Construction is close to $1 million paying off the people that they had to lay off. So that money that we made then going through the others now to pay off the people that, the several hundred people that had to go home.
All right. Let me ask you this question, because, you know, for years you have been perceived by people as one of the business people in Barbados with the Midas touch. I remember some years ago, there are those who will remind you that they put their money into a processing plant that you had been promoting. They lost their money in that. Now you have this big project here where bondholders have taken this 70% haircut, as I understand it.
I just told you that is false.
That is false.
False information.
That is completely false. You told me that the banks, you just told me that the banks, but remember, banks were not the only bondholders in that project. You told me what the banks got. Agreed?
The bondholders.
The bondholders. So you're saying that all of the bondholders ended up better off.
Will end up better off. They will not make a big profit.
And they will not get a 70% haircut.
No. They got the money back in interest already.
All right. But to all intents and purposes, this project was not the resounding success that people expected it would have been. You have attributed this partly to the crisis, the 2008 housing bubble and the financial crisis that came after that. But at the end of the day, Sir Charles Williams, who has been seen as the kind of man who, when he says, get behind me with this project, has had these two projects that people say, well, no. This isn't the kind of Midas touch that we expected from this man at all.
But Mr. Ellis,
yes.
If I talk with you, when we had put in the infrastructure, water, electricity, telephone, and everything on 153 lots, we had sold 131. And then the thing touched. If we didn't have to wait for 10 years to get the permission, which is my fault, I should have told Mr. Arthur, forget it. I ain't doing it no more. It took us 10 years to get permission, not 5, that's in the papers. 10 years. And you know my opinion of why that he let that happen? Because, I can tell you, when we had waited for 3 years to get Fort St. Charles, I couldn't get it. Mr. Arthur called a meeting of the town planning people and all of those objected to it, to his the office. The town planner saw it fit to turn up 15 to 20 minutes late. Mr. Arthur held the meeting and it lasted about 2 hours. And then when he finished, he said, Mr. town planner, this project is now passed. You all will have to get together and solve your differences and get it going. It's good for Barbados, which we did. Let me give you a simple example. People don't understand what I've been through. A gentleman called Professor Hunt from McGill turned up at the meeting. He objected to it. Why? There's a school that's 12 square feet and where you gonna cut the waterway into the thing that we don't want moved. I said, why? Because it got eight cooks, which is a little red fish, on it. And we don't want them moved. I said, but Professor Hunt, they can go across the area billet on the water reef. And they can settle there. That's not far from them.
Does that relate to this particular project?
Of course it does.
Or it relates to the other one down in St. Peter.
It relates, but it is, it, as I said, it was only when Mr. Arthur put his foot down and called the meeting that we got that in 3 years.
Yeah, but I thought that related more to the other project, the big project down there by Haywards, where they're dealing with the fish and that sort of thing. I didn't realize that this related to Apes Hill. It's a different project.
It's so if I build a road in St. Philip and I build a road in St. James, in St. James,
but they're two different projects. So you're talking, if you tell me where you went through, but I thought when you were telling me where you went through, it would have been relevant to this particular project. I am not dealing with all these other projects that you've been involved in.
Let me tell you, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I met with a lady called Miss Jewel Chandler from the Ministry of Finance at Apes Hill in the gallery of the temporary clubhouse to try to see if we could do like the company down the road from us the December project would get some duty free vehicles for the senior staff to drive. I have it there right there, and I can send it to you.
But Sir Charles, you call the woman's name. No. You call her name, and I don't want to go down that path. I think you called primarily to clarify some issues, and I've given you the opportunity to clarify those issues. I don't want us to go down the line now of identifying this public officer and that public officer and what position they took on this and that. That's not for us to get involved in. Those people aren't here to defend themselves.
When I tell you what I was told and what is in writing.
No, but we don't need to get into those details right now.
No.
I ain't going there. Sir Charles. Not with you today on that. Let's wrap this up. Because, seriously, we are getting into an area which I do not feel comfortable with. And as much as you have had your experience, I will also make this point. Other people also have their say, and they have their rationale for positions that they take that they can't defend. I am more concerned with the broad issues. You said you wanted to come and clarify this matter of what obtained at Ipsil based upon what was in the press, and I've given you that opportunity. But we're now straying into areas that really we don't need to go there. Thank you very much.
And as you told me, and rightly so, and I apologize, I was right.
Yes.
You told me I should refer to what happened at Apes Hill.
But only in relation to some specific areas. I don't need to get into that detail.
But I was told that.
And let me be honest with you. This person, somebody says, let the caller speak. Let me tell you something. When you create an environment to go there and call the names of public servants and that sort of thing, and put people in a situation where they can't defend themselves, because that's what, this could be their scenario here. This is not acceptable. There's no way that I can deal with it. Mr. Charles could do what he will do. But I, as somebody sitting down here, got to be responsible enough. Some of you guys don't seem to appreciate how things are done. And if I listen to people like you and the other moderators, you will only run the station in trouble. It's ridiculous. I'm talking to the person who is making this comment here on air, on WhatsApp. You know, it's down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I'm sorry if I kept you waiting for a while, but you know how it is. Hello, are you there?
No, I'm third, second in line. The other two probably were not available, so I get here, so I got to say something. Mr. Williams, when he said that he sold land for $200 million and it represented more, and he wanted to compare that with the sale of a product overseas, that is so wrong on so many levels. I mean, so many levels. That, to simplify it now, okay, let me take it a piece at a time. First of all, let us say that Sir Charles is right. It's proper to compare the two. You sell land for $200 million, it's better than making cane and selling cane overseas and making less money. Where does that money go? If that money goes to the private bank, there is no coffers of the, you know, the spenders of Barbados who need to have foreign exchange. Because the banks have their own piece. And he said, your bank can only get so much out of that when called upon to do so. Where does the money go? Secondly,
How much money Barbadians got tied up in commercial banks right now?
Enough. I think it's enough. I don't know what the number is.
And where does that money go?
I don't know. I mean, if Barbados has money, Barbados have money tied up in commercial banks. It's still Barbados money when done. What is important here is the use of the foreign exchange.
So what's the difference between that money and the money that he may bring into Barbados that is in the commercial banking system? What's the difference? Yeah.
Foreign exchange being compared to Barbados money?
Foreign exchange. You said it's money in the bank, and that money is not, and that money is not going to make its way to the to the central bank and that sort of thing. But I'm saying to you that that's not the only money that's tied up in the bank.
Stay with me. Don't get watered down in other areas. Stay with me. We need my foreign exchange, not Barbados money. Barbados money is Barbados money. Whether the bank holds on to it or Barbados spending, it's still not bringing foreign exchange into Barbados, unless, of course, it's utilized in a special way.
So is this foreign exchange? And because it is foreign exchange and it sits in the bank, what happens with it then?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Unless it goes overseas and the banks use it to make more money for themselves, which is more than likely what happens, because when the bank has U.S. money sitting down there, it is not obligated to put it into the Barbados flow, into the Barbados economy. It can hold on to it and make money elsewhere. So if you sell this land overseas, this is only one example, you sell this land overseas and it goes into a private bank, we don't really benefit from it. So let me say it goes in now to a bank and the bank transfers all of it to the central bank, and it goes in now to what we call the foreign reserves that could be used for, what do they call it, import cover?
So foreign direct investment that comes into Barbados in the form of foreign exchange just sits there by itself?
More than likely.
More than likely.
No. It depends on the channels through which it goes, right? No, I'm not the expert in this, but truth be told, it's very easy to find these things out. I'm just saying to you that there's no obligation for it to go to the central bank, all right? None. Okay, so then if there's some regulations attached to any deal that is made for somebody who will invest, as you say, foreign investment.
If you follow your argument, it's going to the central bank and sit down there as foreign exchange.
No, the central bank is obligated.
So when again the foreign, when it leaves this commercial bank and it goes in the central bank, it's get washed as something else?
Yeah.
It's translated, then it's transformed into domestic.
It becomes usable by people who want to use it to bring in stuff. All right, so that's where we are. All right, so we understand. You understand up to that
point? I hear you.
No, do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's just not a matter of criticism. If I've spent time to explain it to you, tell me that I've not wasted my time. So do you understand what
I'm
saying?
We've heard you, man.
Okay, fine. So we have the money sitting there. Let's say, of course, it goes in then for utilization by the Barbadian public and the businessmen and so on. Then it goes in for them to import stuff into Barbados, so there's really no real, all it does is make our situation worse, because, we're just importing stuff with the money foreign exchange that we have. So, but that is just one level. That's just one level. And the answer to that level would be that if you're earning money through, as you say, foreign direct investment, that money should really be used primarily for the development of assets. Assets from which foreign exchange could be further, generated. Now, quite frankly, the same asset that Sir Charles opposes, because the cane fields that produce cane, that produce foreign exchange, are assets, whether we like it or not, because they produce foreign exchange on an ongoing basis. And if that same money coming in was used then to go back into the same sugar industry, who could complain? Why certainly won't be complaining? Because you don't fully appreciate the fact that if you have an asset, okay, Mr. Williams, Charles will argue, but of course, it's employed people, and they also utilize the services that are provided by Barbados and so on. So in a sense, they're actually contributing beyond the sale of the asset. But even that, if you employ Barbadians and still generating U.S. money, you cannot. The whole concept of putting down a productive enterprise in favor of a land deal or the sale of an asset, I find repulsive. If you take the money that is generated from that sale and reinvest in another asset, like when you sold the National Bank and the money went into the Hilton Hotel, you don't think you can fall down there too much, because you're saying you're transferring the emphasis from one, even though I refuse to accept that selling the National Bank in the first place was a good idea, but at least the money that came from that went into financing the Hilton Hotel. That I can appreciate.
As far as I know, Barbados needs about $1 billion in foreign direct investment every year to keep it really afloat. That's the information that I have had. When you just segment it like this and to say that, as far as you're concerned, bringing the foreign direct investment in requires then that you put it into what you will see as a projects for development. That's the ideal. But the truth of the matter is that to a large extent, that does not happen. Because you can tell me all the reasons why we failed to get that many projects that you can then say that that money should go back into those types of enterprises.
I'm not one to accept failure. I'm sorry. If it is not possible for administrations or individuals who determine public policy to find ways to make that kind of investment work on behalf of Barbados, it does not mean it should not be continued as a viable approach. It means you can't say, I give up, because the guys who make these decisions can't follow through. It has to happen.
Would you accept that it is for the private sector more so than the government should be the facilitator?
No.
If Sir Charles has done what he's done at Apsil, which is to take Apsil out of sugar production and turn it into a real estate development.
Put it on the shelf to sell it.
Right. It's a real estate development.
To sell.
To sell to other people, whether local or foreign.
Sure.
Okay.
Short-term benefit, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, but...
we're going to be alive for a long time.
But let me just...
All of us going to be alive for at least 70 years.
But I'm saying... Hold on. The only point I'm making to you is, it's his money. It is and the money of the investors. And it is for them to determine where they are going to put that the money that they earn. That's not the government. That's the private sector.
Government facilitates, as you say. But what do they facilitate? The opportunity for people to
investment.
Make money off of... to make money off of the backs of Barbadians and the history of Barbados and, and whatever is there for our grandchildren to at least find some way to traverse the difficulties of this earth. Land is here. It is our land, whether we like it or not. How it is utilized should be part of government's policy, and it should be, in a way, part of their enabling, because enabling cannot own it.
If you are in a sugar industry that... is not viable.
How does the government force
somebody to stay in a non-viable industry? By putting up their money.
Yeah, but the land. See, when you're dealing with land, at least lawyers are ahead of the game when it comes to this. When you're dealing with land, land has to be treated in a very special way. It has to be. It has to be recognized that land is an asset that really should not be traded like a car. Or, a present you buy at Christmas
time.
But it's
got to be profitable
profitable only as far as the owner is concerned.
Yes.
If it is that you make it easier for the owner...
Then you will subsidize them?
But I don't mind. Do whatever is required. But it can't just be sold. I'm very sorry.
Okay.
The Americans do it. The Americans subsidize their farmers all the time.
Yeah.
The Chinese do it.
Government.
The British do it. The Europeans do it. Why can't we at least say to
the government does... The government does...
I will keep you alive.
The government does subsidize some aspects of agriculture around here by virtue of the incentives that are given. But then, you know, there's a limit to that.
No, there's no limit. Well, who makes the limit? You make the limit? Because you have a different sense of morality than I do? Who makes the limit? Who determines on some page in the World Bank or any international institution that Barbados has a certain limit? And it can't go past that because the U.S. says so or something. I don't get this thing. You have to do whatever is necessary to keep land in Barbados. that's the bottom line. No, then there's another aspect to this which I really can't take you on because I don't think you're going to follow the argument correctly. I'll probably take another guy with this one. But truth be told, at least you recognize that selling of land, willy-nilly, that's what it is, willy-nilly to overseas people, cannot continue. Low-hanging fruit will not solve
The problem. The problem for Barbados is that the other areas that you are pointing to are not doing so well.
It doesn't matter because maybe there is not sufficient...
It can't survive that way.
Maybe. Well, we can. But I think the direction has to be...
But that's part of the reason why we're in the trouble that we're in right now.
No. The reason is that those who dictate public policy are not familiar with what needs to be done to make those areas work. Nor are they particularly interested. Because I think their minds are made up that what Mr. Williams is doing or what other people who are involved in service sector industries and stuff are doing is the right approach. They're not considering anything else. It has nothing to do with what can happen. It has nothing to do with the possibilities that Barbados can actually experience. It has nothing to do with the talent that we got knocking about here.
No,
it has everything to do with public policy. And they're giving up on Barbados and the fact that we can actually produce something that the rest of the world is prepared to buy.
All right,
and that includes having land, because farmers need land, don't they?
Okay. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastax, hello.